So greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sucharita here on Sunday, April 24th, 2016. And I'm here in India, continuing on this fabulous journey for the past 3 months since I started with Dr. Pillai's birthday trip and then continued on with his grace and blessings. And I'm here to share all the fabulous adventures and how we can relate to Dr. Pillai's teachings and tapping into these vortexes, these spiritual places where there's high energy here in India, and then seeing how that can apply in our lives. So welcome to everyone who is joining for the first time, and those of you who have been following this program. It's a free weekly call service, so we're happy to have you here and support you, along with Yagna, who does the write-ups in the weekly newsletters. If you're not receiving those write-ups, then please send an email to sundayswithsucharita@applycenter.com or sucharita@applycenter.com, and we'll get it sorted out. We've been having some technical issues, so please, if you have not received those weekly emails, then let us know. And then you can also listen to the recording that's posted to the blog, so you can just Google Sundays with Sucharita blog, and then you can get on the blog. And then Radha, thank you so much for posting everything to the blog and for sending out the emailers. So that's our support group. Radha is also our Vedic astrologer, and she has given us the write-up, or she gave us a talk, and also there's a write-up on the blog, and it was sent out as well in the emailer, on the sun transit every month. And in this particular month, it is transiting in the first house, the first zodiac sign, which is Aries. So if you feel like you've been energized, or you feel like you're getting burned out, then we've got to get in alignment with the sun's energy. It's what represents our soul. So you can read about the sun transiting through the first sign of the zodiac and see what your soul is trying to tell you. It's going to be pulling on your heartstrings and on your soul strings, and also in your daily life. And it's going to say, hey, you got to pay attention to this area. And the first sign, Aries, is all about the self. The first house is all about the self. So if you want to present yourself in a whole new way, if you want people to see you as you are evolving in a whole new way, then you can pay attention to those aspects of your personality. You can pay attention to maybe setting new goals for yourself, doing some spring cleaning, whether that's physical spring cleaning of your house, your car, your office, getting rid of junk that's weighing you down. Somebody said to me, my God, I'm really ready now. I wasn't ready 2 years ago to clean my space out, but now I just want to get it all out. So we can just keep reminding what that does to us energetically when we don't make the efforts to do a little bit at a time. You know, maybe start with one drawer in your house and declutter. You know, it's not just a vastu or a feng shui, thing to do. It's energetically we carry memories. We carry, old ways of being, old thought patterns that are associated with our daily habits, our behaviors. And then when we go to that drawer, we look at it and we go, oh, God, that's just like such a mess. And then we wonder why our thoughts aren't clear, or we haven't found some way of getting unstuck. So it's a really good idea to do that, and it supports you doing that. You know, do a makeover of your wardrobe. Do a makeover of your appearance. You know, maybe get a new haircut. Hair always grows back, so what? You know, try it out. Go to the spa. Treat yourself. Just say, I'm going to start this Vedic New Year, this new energy coming through. I'm going to feed my soul so that I appear differently to others. And when you appear differently to others, and you're more positive and optimistic, and that's in alignment with the sun, then it's going to, people are going to be noticing you, and they're going to say, hey, what are you all about? And then you can, you'll be more presentable in a way that people will receive you more favorably. And, you know, that's just what it is when we start to take care of ourselves, not just to use spiritual tools or techniques to, you know, escape from all the trials and tribulations and what's, you know, not going so well for our lives externally, whether that's family issues or work issues or, you know, any kind of issue, your health issue, financial issues. We tend to, you know, go towards spirituality because we don't understand how we messed up, how we got to this place. Or maybe we do understand, but then we don't know how to face the challenge and turn it around. So Dr. Fly gives us great tips and tools to, you know, use the meditations, use the spiritual tools, the services that are offered through Fly Center and AstroVet that are done at very specific times every week. And you can tap into that energy and cleanse at the level of the soul. So we want to use this month, the sun transit, to feed our souls so that we can vibrate at a different frequency. And when we vibrate at a different frequency energetically, then more intelligence comes in. And then doors open. You know, we're always saying, I just want miracles in my life. And miracles are supernatural happenings. They mean that we prepare ourselves to receive those miracles. Now, this past week, we may have felt like, ugh, I've just been like kicked down to the ground, or I feel demotivated, or, you know, no energy. And that's possible because we had a big week, this past week, when I was in Rameshwaram. It's a place where Dr. Pillai lived. He was born, and then he lived there for the first 18 years of his life, and he has the city powers. He's come to share with us the way to challenge our karma. So you can read about that on the blog, and or you can listen to the discussion. And when we have a Pradosham time, it's a window of opportunity to really wash away our mistakes at the level of the soul, and also feel it in our body. And physically, we might have done a big scrubbing. So when we're scrubbing, then we can be a little bit tired. So if that's been happening to you, or you've had some emotions that are coming up that have been buried deep, and now the soul is saying, okay, you're ready now to push this to the surface and have it wash away. So it was a very powerful karma-busting week. And then we also, it was followed a couple days later, or actually the next day, so the 13th day is the Pradosham day, 13th moon day. So then the 14th was a day to get rid of some obstacles and challenges and get unstuck. So that's another big vortex of energy that you tap into. And the 14th moon, whether it's waning or waxing, is a time where Ganesha's energy is really powerful. And as we know, Dr. Pillai is really in alignment. He's resonating with Ganesha energy. And even though you may have understood Ganesha for your whole life, maybe you grew up in the culture where Ganesha was a part of your everyday life, or maybe you're just in, you know, been introduced to it over the past, you know, several years or decades or whatever up until this point, maybe you don't even know about it. You can find out about Ganesha by going to AstroVet or Pillai Center. And regardless of where you are with Ganesha, his energy is really available for the whole earth plane. And as Dr. Pillai just mentioned in another program call this week, is that why does it happen that Ganesha's energy was not so powerful up until now? And that's just the divine. The answer that he gave was, there is no right or wrong. It's just how it is now. And here's the doorway open. And not everybody is going to be able to access that energy of Ganesha in the same way as everyone else. However, it is part of the collective unconscious. So when we keep feeding our souls with this collective unconscious, meaning that we open the door to something that we don't really know about, but it's there, and we use the sounds, or we use the practices, the techniques, the meditations, we do fire labs, whether that's proxy, by proxy, or in person, it's going to help you to vibrate with more with that energy of Ganesha at this point in time. And then with Dr. Pillai, being able to resonate and channel that energy through any of the things that I just shared about, the services, the meditations, reading about it, you know, he's going to empower you, because for some reason you're attracted to his teachings, and so at the soul level. So that means you have a connection with him, and you have kind of like a student-teacher contract, maybe from previous lifetimes, or maybe you're just starting in this lifetime. It doesn't matter, because being in that, you know, in that energy field means that he is going to inspire you to go deeper into your meditations, to go deeper into the technologies and understand these archetypes at the soul level. Maybe not necessarily so much you need to understand it at an intellectual level, but just imaging, carrying an image of Ganesha, carrying a little statue of him, like it's in the size of that can fit into the palm of your hand, or, you know, you can laminate a picture and have it in your wallet. You can have a big statue of it at home and do the remedies at home, where you're, you know, bathing it with milk and juice and water. You're giving it Ganesha grass and some sweets and incense and all the rest. You can go on to Apply Center YouTube or Astroved YouTube, and you can just Google or just type in the search box Ganesha, and those under Apply Center and Astroved, there'll be lots of videos that come up, and that's what Dr. Apply said, revisit them. In all the emailers, there's usually a link to some video, and then that will take you into your search, and Ganesha will, that archetypal energy will guide you, and it will say, hey, here's some more about me. So everyone is going to have their own little adventure, their own journey to understand Ganesha more and more. And this year is a really powerful year, 2016. We're already into the, you know, April, the end of April. So we're a quarter of the way through the year, and we have 3 more quarters to go. So if you haven't gotten to know him and you haven't seen that energy show up in your life, then I encourage everyone to start to do that. And even if you have been haphazardly, or if you've been doing it diligently, you know, trying to access Ganesha's energy, keep doing it. Because as we come together every week, we find out more and more about what it is that's going on with the community here and other programs. And they share, members share about their experiences with Ganesha, and they're real. They're very practical. He's very practical. And that if you feel stuck, or if you feel, things going on in your life, but you're just not happy, or maybe there are things going on in your life and you're depressed and you you can't come out of it. And he, when you resonate with Ganesha's energy, that energy will guide you. And it's not guiding you at the rational mind level. There are some, you want to feed your thoughts and your intellect with some stories or some mantras, some meditations and practices. But then we want to be able to ask Ganesha to just guide us so that we are intuitively or instinctively in the right place at the right time, thinking, doing, saying all the right things. And I was blessed to be here. Now I'm in Madre, which is a place that is a very powerful vortex for the goddess Meenakshi. And again, this week, or this past week, the Chitrapurnama, the full moon, was a time to, really cleanse out and show us where we have repetitive behaviors or thoughts that are preventing us from having beautiful relationships, from being able to manifest more finances in our lives, or better health, or a better job or better opportunities, bring to life something else other than what is going on, to make us more passionate about life, to get rid of mistakes in the past, so they don't karma is like, okay, you've planted the seed, now it may show up. We don't want it to show up if it's not good. If it's good, great, show up. So Chitra Purnama means the full moon in Chitra, and it gives you an opportunity to gain divine merit. So you can gain divine merit by participating during that full moon. And what happened with me, I was on the way from Ramaswaram and then in here in Madurai. And the Meenakshi temple is a temple that foreigners cannot, they can go in and they can, it's a beautiful temple, it's huge. You can go around, but the inner sanctum where the goddess is and then also where the Shiva is, that's you can't just go in there. And so even if you have a Hindu certificate, if you've converted to Hinduism, and so I'm one of those people that has that, and I was with someone else and she didn't have it. And so we were there, and it was a big, huge celebration all week long in this city. It's actually all month long, where the goddess was crowned. And, there's big rituals they do and all kinds of things. And it happened to be the night that we walked in. And we just said, okay, well, let's just go in and we'll just, be in the temple, be in the vibrations. And it was so quiet in there. I said, wow, this is unbelievable. Usually there's like thousands of people around and you're just being pushed like a big mosh pit. And so we were just like floating by, and then the guy said to us, you're going to go to the sanctum, and we're like, whoa, how do we do that? So he said, go into that room, and it was the commissioner's office, and I showed him my Hindu certificate, and they can just say no if they want. And he just looked at me, and he said, okay, go ahead. And I said, do I need any special letter or anything? And he said, well, who are you with? And I said, oh, I'm with my friend. And he said, well, where's her certificate? And then I just said, well, she's already gone. I can't see her anymore, because I couldn't. She had already just walked by the office. So then he just said, okay, you can go, but she can't. I said, okay, that's fine. So we went, and, sure enough, a few people came, security people, and they said, you can't go in. And we were just really floating, and the goddess was pulling, and I kept praying to Ganesha, I understand if we can't get in, but it's really, it would be really nice if we could get in. And there weren't so many people, so people were just like, oh, okay, come and stand in this line. And then someone would say, hey, where's your papers? And I'd show my paper, and they didn't even ask the other girl with me. So it was really, it was really magical. It was really something that I can't even explain, that why it happened. And then all of a sudden this priest came out of nowhere. He was a beautiful priest. He was like so happy to serve us, to take our names and our birth stars and put the sankalpa, the prayers. And then we came to the front of the big line, right in front of the deity. And then there was another priest that said, usually they just push you, you get to see it for a couple of seconds. And he just said, no, stand here, wait. And so it was like a pinch me, is this for real moment. And it was so smooth, and it was such a blessing, and everything went beautifully. And then we went off to see Shiva, the sanctum of Shiva, and, same kind of situation happened, but it was like this dance, and came out of it, and even the guide was there, and he just said, "Wow, that's amazing. You guys got in." And he didn't, he just left us. He was just guiding us towards it, and they don't let him in the sanctum because he didn't have the ticket or whatever. And he just said, "Wow, it was amazing you guys get in." And he was like, "I was praying for you." And so this is what happens in life. You know, when we call on these divine archetypes, we get into the collective unconscious. It doesn't matter what color our skin is. It doesn't matter what our you know, what our custom is or our religious upbringing is. It doesn't really even matter if you have certificates or don't have certificates. The divine, you're vibrating at a whole other level that creates like a force field around you that just will make things to happen. And staying in that energy and just being positive and you know, not nervous and just like floating, it was a surreal moment because, you know, there's people like pushing and saying, "You can't be here," and they're kind of, you know, aggressive. And it was just, I was just praying to Ganesha, "Okay, Ganesha, what are you gonna do now? How are we gonna do this here?" And then someone else would come and pull us towards. So this is what happens in life. And it made me to flash back into times where I felt very you know, unsettled in my life. I felt very stuck, or I felt like, oh, I couldn't get the loan that I wanted, or I couldn't get into the school that I wanted, or I couldn't have the relationship that I wanted. Or even when I'm working with people, there are lots of challenges. And I would just keep calling on these divine beings, keep doing the practices, and keep, you know, like Dr. Pillai says, you've got to fake it until you make it. You've got to keep imagining that everything is going to happen the way you want it to happen. In that, okay, I need this house, or I need this car, or I need this relationship, or I need this job. And you keep visualizing that happening, even if it is, you know, a relationship that you have and it's not so great, you have to keep imagining it as being beautiful. And then as you keep feeding your brain that, and you tap into the collective unconscious, you tap into these archetypes that Dr. Pillai introduces to us, and in particular Ganesha, because he's the one who will remove all the obstacles. And he will make you to feel really happy because he also makes the kundalini rise. So even if you are a yogi or a yogini, you know, you know how to move the kundalini. That is like a mechanical thing. We need the grace and blessings of a guru, very enlightened or high-minded guru, to give us the access to these archetypes that will keep it going, so you're not doing it so mechanically in times where you really need it instantaneously. You know, so you don't, okay, now I'm focusing on the base of my spine, and now I'm opening up all my chakras, and now da 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 da. It's just boom, you're floating. You've got to go apply for a loan, or you've got to apply for a job, or you have to have a very serious conversation with someone, or you have to talk to your boss, or you have to, you know, speak to your family members about something very serious, or you yourself have to, you know, do something that is really important, and it's, you know, a little bit nerve-wracking. Then you just, if you've been practicing it and you tap into the energy of these archetypes, then you will really understand. Oh my God, it's he, she, it, whatever the divine, however you want to relate to the divine, is guiding, and it's making it to just move with grace and ease. So that's what I wanted to share about what's happening here with me in Madurai. And it's a very, very hot here, but we managed to get a great hotel that I'm sitting in the treetops. So there's a lot of shade, and I'm very happy and, you know, grateful to Ganesha for removing obstacles so that I could find this magical place in the city that does, you can't even hear the city traffic or anything like that. So it's, again, just to share with everyone, it's pretty impossible sometimes for things to happen in such an easy way here in India. And then I can take that when I go back to Canada and I'm in my life, and I will remember these times where I was like, this is not possible. This is, that would be my old way of thinking. Now I'm just saying, okay, Ganesha, because you got to do this. Otherwise, this is not going to work out if I try. I don't even know where I'm going or what I'm doing. So in a way that, like Dr. Pillai says, just imagine your place, yourself in a space or in, you know, whatever it is, the job, the health, relationship, the financial situation, the house, the car, whatever it is. You imagine and you feel that, and you get into a state where you do your practice, and then you'll, this energy will just take it over, and it will align you with that reality. And because Ganesha is such a practical archetype, he's the first and the foremost. You call on Ganesha before you call on any other archetype in the Indian culture of deities. So, and you can imagine this is, you know, something that is, if you know about Ganesha, even throw that away. Throw out all that knowledge and just keep trying to understand him in a whole new way. Breaking coconuts. I imagine Ganesha as the coconut now. I can't pick up a coconut. I've cracked so many since I've been here. You pick up the coconut, I pick it up and I say, okay, Ganesha, you're the coconut. I'm just going to absorb, put all my thoughts, my negative thoughts, all my worries, all my anxieties, all, you know, my heated body into this coconut. I need to be cool or find somewhere where it's cool. And every day I do that. And the whole day goes so smoothly. So I'm not just saying this to, you know, to do these techniques and then you don't, find out. This is a science. This is a spiritual science. And if you really have tried it up until this point, try it some more. Keep doing it more. And that means you're really calling on Ganesha. So if we really want something in our life, we do our spiritual practices, but we also have to do the steps in our life to go after the things that we want to go after. So it's a great time to do a vision board, draw your goals or the images, cut them out from magazines or copy and paste on your computer, and look at that every day and image it, imagine it happening, and then have pictures of Ganesha all over the place. And this year, you can take them all down after that, but probably you won't because you'll want him to always be guiding you. And you always want to resonate with that energy. So that's been what's happening this week, and it's been great because it was a perfect timing to go to the temple. Oh, that was what I remembered telling you, finishing the story that I was telling you. Normally, these temples are thousands of people during a big full moon. And this particular story that they're celebrating, they had a deity that was going to be propitiated on the other side of the river. So it was, they were doing some big celebration and big function. So everybody was over there on the other side of the river. And I just thought, perfect timing for a foreigner to be able to go in and, get the special blessings from the goddess. So again, I was kind of chuckling to myself saying, oh my God, Meenakshi, you did a little Leela, you know, God's play or divine play, where everything was a distraction over on the other side of the river, and then we got to come into the temple and see you. You know, that was how the divine showed up in the life. So even though I was tired and we didn't really think we were going to get in or whatever, we just said, okay, something's calling us to the temple, and everything, we might as well just keep going for it. Even though it could be creating some obstacles and all the rest, we'll just keep calling on Ganesha. And then at the end, and when we left the temple, there was a powerful Ganesha statue. And it was outside the temple, and there was a big tree there where the statue was. And I said to the guide, what's this statue, you know, and what's the significance of this tree? There's like a little, you know, sanctum where the statue was in front of the tree. And he said, oh, ma'am, that's the tree where you can get your wish fulfilled for having a baby. And I'm at the age and stage in my life where that's not really something that I want to do. However, I'm working with a lot of people who want to have babies, and they're having challenges having babies. So I said to internally, I said, okay, Ganesha, I would like for these people to have a breakthrough. And, you know, if it's the divine will for them to have babies, then this is the prayer. And I'm going to just do this breaking of the coconut in front of you. And then I'll go around the tree, like they say that you should do, and pray. And so let's see. It's all science. And let's see if those babies are going to be born. That will be awesome. So, again, it's something that was so dear to my heart. And I wasn't even, I could have just walked by and said, forget it. I don't want to have a baby. I'm out of here. But then the Ganesha was pulling me to this tree and pulling me, you know, to do something that I could do for the people who I am working with who want to have babies. So that hopefully they will have babies. They'll be divine babies. And then also halfway around the tree that I was going around this sanctum, this ritual, doing this ceremony, I thought, okay, also projects. Projects are like little babies, aren't they? So I am working on a couple of projects, and I thought, well, these are my babies. So I'm going to see how these projects go. And sure enough, a couple of days later, one of my projects, I had a big breakthrough. And so I was so grateful to be able to, you know, get out of my head about how things look or should be or shouldn't be, and then just call, intuitively or gut instinct, go towards what I know to be really helpful, which is to call on these archetypes and then have them guide us. So Ganesha has been really great in that way, clearing the path for myself and so many others who I'm working with and helping them to, you know, overcome their challenges, you know, and being a lot happier about the life. So that's what has been going on for me this week, and that I'm very happy to have shared with you and everyone here. And then because we are now on a waning cycle, we're coming into a fourth moon, waning moon, which is a really, really powerful time to connect with Ganesha. So there are times where you have a 14th moon and then a fourth moon, whether it's waning or waxing. So a fourth moon is coming up, and that's a great time to also, you know, break some coconuts. If you have the Durva grass or Bermuda grass, you can offer it to Ganesha. You just need one strand of it. And as I mentioned in the past weeks, months, that's not easy to get here in India. Even though I go to all the temples, it's not easy to find. So I understand when people say, well, I'm in the U.S. or Europe and I can't get it. You know, you can grow it. You can get the seeds, the Ganesha grass seeds, Bermuda grass seeds. And then Dr. Pai said you can put it into a ghee lamp. Just put a few seeds into the ghee lamp and then offer that to Ganesha. So there's lots of ways to work around. No hard and fast rules. It's the science behind it. So that make the efforts to get the Ganesha grass. And if you can't get the Ganesha grass, cut a picture out of it and say, I want this. I have to find it. And sure enough, Ganesha will show you. And then your life becomes a little bit of an adventure. And it's, you know, it's kind of fun. So my dried out Ganesha grass is what I put in front of the Ganesha every day. And I just say, I don't know how this works, but this is alchemy according to the Siddha lineage. And Dr. Pillai has said, you just do this, you put it there. You can say any Ganesha mantra, and he will be opening the doors for you. He will be telling you, guiding you, do this, do that, go here, go there, and you'll know it intuitively, or you'll know it instinctively, and you won't doubt it because you'll just be pulled to be doing the right thing at the right time. Even if people are saying, no, do this, do that, you'll just know, ah, this feels better. Ganesha, you're telling me to go here. You're telling me to go there, even though these other people are saying, do this, do that. So when you have that connection to the divine, then the divine will really move the mountains, open the doors, break down barriers, get you unstuck. So Ganesha's year is this year, and the fourth waning moon is coming up. So read about that on Pillai Center, read about it on Astroved. If you can do any, participate in any of those services, whether they're paid services or free services, fire labs, there's always free stuff going on. Even if you, if there aren't any free fire labs going on presently, go on to Astroved or Pillai Center and watch the recordings of them, and you will feel the energy. So the divine will always guide you according to your budget, so no stress. And then when you can afford to do it, then you will do it, because that the divine will guide you to do that. So there's also a sixth moon coming up, and that's also for Muruga's energy. So Muruga gets rid of karma, Maya, ego. He purifies it. So if you have some challenging karmas, then you can pay attention to Lord Muruga, the archetype, which is he's the brother of Ganesha, and he also helps you to understand your spiritual level, or your spiritual path in a whole new way. And then he also gets rid of enemies, diseases, debts, litigation. Before it even comes out of it, before the karma has presented itself. So all these practices, all these tools, all these meditations that we use or know about, put it into your life at the right time. So and then after that is an eighth moon, and it's a waning moon. So that's a moon to, get to know Kalabhairava more. And Kalabhairava is the god of time. Much like Ganesha, they rule a time in a different space. And when you go into space, you can be in space for like 8 hours, but 8 years can go by, So that's how we can access these divine beings, and then go into a different headspace and resonate with their energy, whether it's for 5 minutes a day or 10 or 20 or through a mantra that we're playing throughout the day. Get to know them and keep calling on them. Keep that in your consciousness. Keep opening that door to the collective unconscious, what's behind the scenes of life. Like Dr. Pillai says, don't just look at your life with your two biological eyes. That's very limiting. It gives you a headache. Personally, I thought I just added that. He didn't say it's going to give you a headache. But when I'm looking too much at the reality, it just can be depressing, or it can be like giving me a headache because I'm thinking too much. So you go into the pineal gland, and you go into your Sushumna, which we're going to do in a meditation in a couple of minutes. And we're going to access the energy of these divine beings, the collective unconscious, because our eyes are closed. Our biological eyes are shutting down, so no stimulus from the outside is coming. And then maybe memories are coming up, or some thoughts, but that doesn't matter because you're not going to act on those. You're going to just see them come up and maybe get burned away with the mantra, or pushed away with the mantra, or dissolved away, or some light is going to happen, some kind of inner experience. You're going to go inside and resonate with those energies, with your inner eye. And then that inner eye, when you open your eyes after that, that inner eye will have produced an amount of energy or an intelligence that you will be seeing through your eyes. And that energy or intelligence is the deity, the archetype that you resonated with just during that meditation. So any time after that, whether you're doing a ritual, you're for that deity, for that archetype, you're accessing that intelligence. And that more and more we do, the more and more we do that, the more that collective unconscious is going to guide us. So for those of you who need to go, thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time. You can listen to the rest of the recording that will be posted to the blog. Find out what we're going to chat about. And have a fabulous week ahead. Those of you who are going to stay, this is a time where you can press *6 if you have any questions or comments, or you want to share about your experience on the path with Dr. Pillai or in any of the programs or the services or this meditation practice. We can just allow the call to, or the discussion to unfold. So I'm just going to So you can just press *6 if you want to share your experience. Or if you have any questions. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Sucharita. This is Alicia. How are you?
Hey, Alicia, how are you?
I am good. I just wanted to say thank you for this lovely meditation. I actually woke up with a headache, and the headache disappeared. So thank you.
Wow, great.
Yeah, the chanting you do is so lovely and so soothing, you know? It's great.
Oh, good. That's great to hear.
Yeah. I have two questions, if I may ask.
Sure.
My first question is, and it of course comes because, you know, you can't totally stop your logical brain. So very often, like all Hinduism and all these rituals are really new to me. Like I grew up Muslim. So although I grew up in India,
okay,
and, you know, I didn't really grow up with these practices. So at times, my logical brain is like, it doesn't see the connection between how rolling a lime will get me married kind of thing. And, you know, like the
right.
doubt creeps in, and, you know, there's a lack of faith. And I know Dr. Pillai really emphasizes faith, and I struggle with it. So I was wondering if you had any thoughts to share.
Yeah, it's a really great question, and it applies to everyone, whether you grew up Muslim. I grew up Christian, and it was when I first met Dr. Pillai, that was one of the things that I had a little bit of turmoil with. But then, as I just listened to him and just participated in the rituals and the services and the remedies and going to temples, I started to realize how much I was missing in my own culture, my own religion. And so I just treated it like science. So I did this and this happened. And then that got me really closer to my inner world, my soul, at the soul level. It started to clean things up. So I kept doing the technology, you know, using the tools, the meditations, the mantras. And that kept cleaning up my consciousness, so that as I got more and more clear about, why I was doing rolling limes or breaking coconuts or going to temple or, going off to India and doing all the things that we've talked about over the years, it's really it's developing the soul, and then the soul starts to really come alive and appreciate, in my case, being Christian and connecting more with that Christ consciousness. You know, there are a lot of people who are Muslim as well, and they have the similar experiences. I have lots of people I work with who are Muslim, actually, and they, you know, that's the first thing they say. I'm doubt all this because I'm not used to it. And so that's great. It's healthy to be have that state of consciousness because it gives you a baseline, gives you a foundation of, oh, my doubt actually created obstacles for me to experience whatever this technology is doing for me. So then when you revisit it, you know, your own culture, your own religion, your own beliefs that you grew up on, or your friends, or you know, you can appreciate the divine in everything. So, you know, this is the golden age now where we're not stuck in one way of being. And so it does feel a little unnatural at first, but then as we've heard from many people over the years, and as I'm sharing with you my own personal journey, it's, you know, if you just go, if you just use the technology and start to understand, oh, this is something that's going to clean up my consciousness, and it'll do it fast. So why wouldn't I want this to happen? The doubt is the negative collective consciousness. It's the thing we tap into every day, you know? It's, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this, you know? And that's why we get on a spiritual path, is because we're so tired of hearing what we should and should not do. It doesn't resonate with us anymore. So the technology that Dr. Ply shares will create kind of like a bubble around you, or protection around you, so that even if that is the case, we're bumping up against that every day in our thoughts, words, and actions, the people we mix and mingle with, it just bounces off. So that's all I can really share with you about that. Your doubt will, you know, dissipate. It won't grip you so much, especially if you do this practice with Ganesha and then also Lord Muruga, the veil. Technique, if you have a veil, a copper veil, or if you can buy one, I think they're available on Astrovet or Ply Center. It's like a, you know, a couple of inches, and you just stick it in your wallet, and then on six moons or times where you can do it daily, but six moons in particular are really powerful times to pour milk or juice or even just water and hold on to that veil, and that will also give you help with faith. Because faith is just utter positivity. It's optimism. It's going against the collective consciousness that says no, that creates this no inside of you, that creates blocks. And we immerse ourselves in it every day as we navigate in life. And when you have those images, those sacred objects, those tools, that will help to dispel that from clinging on to you, that energy from clinging on that says no. And then you'll find that it's not a logical thing anymore. It's just you know, it's just something that you see, oh, doubt really is just negative. It's just, it's not an emotion, or it's not, you know, something intellectual. It's just an energy that's blocking. And the positivity, or that ability for you to move freely and gracefully through life with more ease and grace, even through the obstacles, the ease and grace is there. And then so this, the doubt really won't be something that you will question anymore, because you'll just be doing. You'll just be in action. So I hope that's been a little bit helpful. Hello?
Yeah, Sucharita, that was super profound. I never thought of doubt as, like, the way to counter doubt as utter positivity. Wow, that was profound. I guess my logical mind thinks of it as doubt coming from rational thinking, like, oh, these events happen, so this should be the outcome, like, based on these events, the outcome should be X. That's how, but which is a negative outcome, whereas my heart desires outcome Y. And that's where, like, I guess the doubt creeps in for me. And then I don't know how to change my perspective from X to Y.
Right. So, you know, if your why is positive, then just keep doing the techniques. And, you know, there's a program for Ganesha for 90 days. You know, Dr. Pillai has said 90 days. You do something for 90 days and you will, get a greater understanding of what it is that you, or how it is that you can navigate your life. And then repeat that. Do it again, 90 days again, and 90 days and 90 days. Because here we are in this world, and we're surrounded by negativity. And even if we don't watch TV or listen to anyone, it still creeps in. If we lock ourselves away in our room, we're still with our mind, our thoughts. My God, that's even worse, right? So we have the tools, the spiritual practices. If you do proxy services, that works at the soul level, even at a distance, because it's talking to something that's beyond your mind. It has to kind of trick your mind into doing something else while the service is going on, working at the soul level. So that's why we have Dr. Pillai has given all these spiritual practices, tools, meditations, mantra practices to get us out of that. And then the more we do it, that becomes the guiding force. Like, we'll hear from other members who will say, out of nowhere, this mantra just came. Like, for example, for me today, when I was doing the meditation, I never know what I'm going to do. And I just pray, okay, Dr. Pillai, you gotta be here and guide me to give what everyone needs in this week for according to the power times that are available. And that we can tap into. And out of nowhere, I was thinking another mantra, and then this mantra came. You know, the Shreem Hreem Kleem Klaung Gang Ganapataye Maravarada Sarva Janame Vasmanaya Swaha. And that, it means, Ganesha, bring all the people to me who are going to help me, because I can't do it myself. You have to. You have to wake that up inside of me at the soul level. It says, go get those people, everyone, wherever you are, going with me in my life every day. You just bring those people to me who are going to be supportive of me. I need to experience that. Now, I didn't have a clue that I was going to be doing that mantra. But then as I was doing it, I could feel this energy of Ganesha saying, I'm going to go ahead and do all this for you. I'm going to bring all the people to you. You just do this practice. So that made me laugh inside, you know. And I just thought, oh, my God, I'm trying to, you know, my mind can say, you should do this, you should do that. And then Ganesha is coming and saying, no, this is better, this is more appropriate. And it makes sense, because we're going to have a week of, when the moon is on a waning cycle, we're going more internally. And when we go more internally, then we can, you know, there can be confusion, we can be thinking too much, and the sun is supposed to be really bright and shiny, it's in Aries, but I don't feel so bright and shiny. So then we say, okay, well, I got to brighten up my soul. I got to clean up my soul. I've got to have some support around me as I'm doing that. Or I have to have the people who understand that I'm going to be going more internally, and they're not going to bug me to go out and do all kinds of things that are more external, you know. So it will help for us to understand when we do the practices and we call on these divine beings, they will actually guide us. And a mantra practice will come, and then we'll say, oh, that's Ganesha telling me this, or that's Lord Muruga telling me that. So that's what it is for my experience. So maybe you have some more experiences, or you have any more questions, Alicia? Hello?
Sorry, I was on mute.
Yeah.
No, thank you so much for sharing that. I do have one more question, and it's probably,
sure.
I apologize, since I just started following with Dr. Pillai, my understanding is a little limited in terms of his teachings. But my question was that, you know, how Dr. Pillai totally, like, emphasizes on astrology and planetary positions. And I actually had a consult with an astrologer who was fantastic through AstroVade. He told me about some phases of my cycle and some planetary positions and all that. So my question was, if I desired something, and let's say he said that based on planetary positions, he saw it happening only at the end of the year, then to what extent would my practices of, say, chanting Kleem or doing the karma busting, etc., like, how do practices in getting your desires work when your planets are probably not that aligned?
it's a great question. So the question is, okay, you had an astrology consultation, which we have shared. It's a great baseline measure for all of us to have one at least once a year. And you can understand how the planets are going to be, the transits of planets are going to be affecting you according to how they are positioned in your chart, and then how to navigate accordingly. And if you have an astrologer that says, well, this isn't a good time for maybe making money, a lot of money. And then, but Dr. Pillai says, well, if you do Shreem or you do Kleem, then you should make a lot of money. So that can be a bit of a contradiction, or, you know, whatever your desire is. If your desire is to have a relationship or have good health or whatever it is, it doesn't, that is good because it tells you the roadmap. So it gives you the clues about where the obstacles are going to be. But then, like we do in life, if we know that there's going to be a traffic jam on the highway, we will do Google Maps search and we will figure a way out. So that's what the mantra practice will do, is it will help you to rise above that karma that is going to be saying no. And maybe it will say, okay, come over this way. And then you might just run into, you know, some money or a relationship or whatever it is that you want to manifest. But here's the key. If you stop doing that mantra practice, it's like saying, okay, thanks. Okay, see you later. Thanks for giving me a nice, way out. But then, you know, you might find yourself in another conundrum or block. So that's why we keep doing the practices to help us to come out of a potentially, debilitating traffic jam or challenge in our life. And the practices, whether it's Kleem, Shreem, Brzee, whatever it is, that will continue to, you know, guide you. That will help you to resonate. It will help you to resonate with more positive energy. When you're resonating with more positive energy, then you'll understand those Kleem and Shreem, Brzee, they have a different meaning. So there's different levels, or there's different subtleties of energy that you will tap into, even if you use the same sound for 20 years. Your consciousness will shift you to a whole new way of understanding how that archetype or that archetypal consciousness is now guiding you. So, if you get an astrology consultation, you're going to, and the astrologer says, okay, it's not a good time to focus on relationship. You should be focusing on, building your finances, or focus on your health, or focus on your family right now. You will do that because you will do the remedies that they recommend, whether it's a planetary mantra or maybe doing some services to take care of those planetary challenges to neutralize them. But then if you do Kleem and Shreem, you might get a little bonus there. So we do the astrology consultation to understand how to navigate in life, where the roadblocks are going to be, and then where how we can go around it, where there's a detour, and we can go around. It might be a little bit bumpy or slower, might seem that way, but eventually we're going to get through, you know, we're going to keep moving. We're going to keep the energy flowing so that we're not just sitting there stuck. Because it's all being on the spiritual path and being in our life, it's not two separate things. Right? You can have everything in life. You can have all the money, relationship, you know, everything, health, social circle, social status, job status. And if you're miserable inside at the level of the soul, who's going to wake that up? Who's going to make that better? Well, you are. You got to tap into this collective unconscious and help it to, you know, guide you and say, hey, I'm going to feed you at the level of the soul, give you that purpose, that fulfillment in all the things that you have or don't have. Because everyone has those times in the life where you have stuff and it can just go like that. One thing can go or all of it can go all at once. And then you have those dark nights of the soul. Oh my God, what just happened? Right? But that's your soul. It wanted to experience that. So we've got to come to terms or come to peace with what we decided as a little spark up there in heaven or somewhere beyond, whatever, you know, however you relate to it or some other lifetime. And then we came into this lifetime and we said, hey, I want to do this life. I think that's a good game plan. That's a good roadmap. And then we get into it and we go, whoa, I manifested this. Oh my God. All right. And that's what we do. We say, oh my God. And then we start to pray to that God. And then if that God that we were maybe raised with isn't going to be the answer to our prayers or help us out of it, then we are going to, you know, have a meltdown. And then for some reason, we're here with Dr. Pillai and we're getting a more universal perspective on how we can use spiritual tools regardless of where how we were raised or what we've been exposed to and just help us to navigate, you know, through life. And the planets are going to deliver karma, so why not get on the good side, neutralize the planets, and then access these archetypes that you're familiar with. If you're familiar with Allah, then you'll have a clearer connection with Allah through the spiritual tools or practices, through the planetary influences being neutralized. If you resonate with Jesus, then you'll have that as well. So we're finding out what influences us on the spiritual path from the spirit world, from the other side, or what's hidden from, you know, what's obvious in front of us, what's behind the scenes. So the planets are these influences behind the scenes, but then if we pull them to the forefront, they become our life. They become our guiding force. They become our friend. Or even if they're wicked planets, it's going to teach us something. And that's what our soul wanted to do. So if you got to blame it on anyone, blame it on your soul. And then don't blame it on your soul. You know, just get out of that and say, okay, wake up. We need to feed you with the right information. And then you'll live a more purposeful, and you'll learn the lessons of life. You'll learn that there's going to be good times and bad times, and you'll have to be very neutral in all of it. And what's going to help you out of it is these beings. You know, teachers, spiritual teachers, masters, planets, deities, archetypes, you know, prophets that have been since times immemorial. And there's a history behind it. Whether it's true or not, they're spiritual beings. And it's part of the collective unconscious. And your soul will guide you. And you have to trust that and intuit that and get into it. And go for it, no matter what, who's saying what. So I hope that's been helpful.
Yes, Sucharita, thank you so much. That was a lovely explanation. I'm able to see things from a different perspective. So thank you so much.
Okay, great. Anything else? Is there anyone else who has a...
No, I don't want to take over the whole call, but maybe next Sunday.
Okay. Have a great week ahead.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. So sounds, as Dr. Ply says, sounds are the building blocks of consciousness. So whatever mantra practice we do, if that mantra is to attract wealth or health or happiness or a new job, whatever that is, sounds are these sounds are related to these archetypes in a way. Like just like you would go in a crowd of people and then you would hear your name being called and you may turn and 10 other heads might turn as well. But if it's a familiar sound in that you, maybe it's a friend that's calling your name or a family member calling your name, you will have an experience in a whole new way that's different from everyone else who turns their head to look for where that your name was being called towards the person who was calling it. You will have a different vibration, a different familiarity. You'll resonate with that differently. So just like that, it will produce some sort of chemical response, and that will create an action after that. So the sounds that you put in through the mantra practice, the techniques that you do to invoke these archetypes, the meditations that you expose yourself to, the mind processes that you go into and immerse yourself in, that has a vibration. And that vibration is associated with all these archetypes. And that is the intelligence that Dr. Ply talks about. You want to go beyond human intelligence. You want to access super intelligence. And that super intelligence is what is going to be your guiding force. Regardless if you have good or bad planets, you're going to take care of that. If you invest in having a consultation, then that will be really helpful. If you can't invest in it right now, then you just will see every day. You go on to astroved.com, or you can buy one. Download the Horror Watch. That's an app. And every hour it will say, okay, it's Saturn Horror or Mars Horror or Moon Horror, any of the planets. And then that will tell you something about how you feel. So you understand, oh my God, this is for real. I am feeling this way. But then if you do the mantra, even a few times, it will bring to your awareness, oh, all I have to do is call on this planet and by the mantra and that for your times. And then I'm just praying or say some words like, I don't know if you're good or bad, but just please be neutral. If you're good, then be better. Show me some way that I can identify with and help that to have that energy guide me by what's happening in that hour. If you feel nervous or frustrated or scared or heavy, then chances are it's not going to be, a great experience, but then you just keep saying that mantra, and then maybe it will be neutralized. And then after that, you can say your other mantras, your Shreem, Brzee, or your, gums, or, whatever it is, your Kleems, that you want to add to your manifestation. Mm-hmm. Or you can simply close your eyes and then just imagine Dr. Ply there, and he's beaming a light into your third eye and taking you out of your rational mind, the logical mind, the doubting mind, the mind that says, what the, this is, I've been doing this for so long and I don't get it and I blah, blah, blah. Just stop that. And that's what Dr. Ply said. He's resonating so clearly with Ganesha, and he says it's so fruitful. It's such a fruitful experience to be resonating with Lord Ganesha's energy, because he removes obstacles and life is more rewarding, more fulfilling, not only for himself, but for everybody else. So, you know, when he said that, keep saying that, it's like, yeah, it is. It is. I am a lot happier.
Hi, Sucharita. This is Colleen. I mean, Indrani.
Indrani! Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. How are you?
Good.
I have a whole bunch of questions. First of all, though, I wanted to say how great this meditation was. And to be honest, I feel that way with all of the meditations whenever I am able to call in for Sundays with Sucharita. And lately, what I've been doing is downloading the meditation and the discussion recordings separately, and I've been waking up at 5:30 in the morning and doing the meditation every morning, and then listening to the discussion while I'm on my way on the tube to work, which has been really great to sort of set me up for my day.
Oh, great!
And what I find with each of each of the meditations each week, they have a different sort of energy, it seems to me. And I imagine that's because of the planetary influences of the week. But I find that there was one that we did on April the 2nd that if I do that in the morning, I am so energized by the time I get to work. And it is as though, and I'm going to sound really crazy saying this, I actually walk around the halls at my office visualizing myself being Ganesha, like with big elephant ears and a big elephant trunk, and walking around feeling what it would feel like to have the breeze in my big elephant ears as I remove obstacles for all of my projects that I'm working on at work.
That's fantastic.
And I only recently have been able to, because I just moved into a flat where I am sharing with somebody else, I've only just recently figured out how I can, in the morning, bring out my Ganesha and do a little puja to him and get my day started in that way, offer a flower to him. I can't do a ghee lamp or a flame of anything or anything like that, but I do burn incense and offer a flower to him in the morning. And this week especially, or I would say last week, I guess, because now it's Sunday, whenever I did that, and that you just explained it in the call or in the discussion just before where you said that Ganesha accesses the Kundalini, my experience when I was doing the puja 2 or 3 days ago was I just wanted to, like, move my body. You know, my back just really wanted to, like, move around in all kinds of interesting positions, and it just felt really, really good to do that. And I thought it was just because this lovely Ganesha that I have, he's one of the wooden ones who's supposed to remove your karma. I hadn't had him out from the closet. He's been in the closet for the last 2 months, but I brought him out and you know, gave him the flower and the incense, and I thought maybe it was just because, like, he was just so grateful to be brought out of the closet. But I think it's crazy, right? But I want to actually understand a little bit more about how he accesses the Kundalini or stimulates the Kundalini or whatever it was that you said.
Okay. Do you want me to respond to that right now, or do you have something else?
No, I think for now, that's about it.
Okay, so it's great that you are, it's a great way to use the meditations and listen to the discussions to set, like you said, to set up your day. And then the April 2nd one, I guess that was when we were visualizing Ganesha as our whole being. So
yeah,
for those people who haven't listened to that, go ahead. It's April 2nd as per you, Indrani. So, and then what happens with the Kundalini, when you're tapping into the energy of the deity, it could be that, yeah, he's happy to be out of the closet, so to speak. But it's also something inside of yourself that's saying, I need to do this so that it will give me a greater understanding of how Ganesha is impacting my life right now. So when you have these bodily movements, they're related to what they call kriyas. So kriyas are kind of spontaneous energetic releases. And then that means that the Kundalini is moving. The Kundalini is spiritual energy. And it moves. It's a force that moves through you. It's at the soul level, and then it has to push through all the blocks on the different levels of consciousness. So when you are, you know, moving the Kundalini, because see, Ganesha he's at the root. He's the doorway to all the other deities. So it makes sense in our body, in our subtle body that corresponds with our physical body, all the different parts of our body. We start at the base of the spine and we push the energy up so that it is not weighing us down and keeping us stuck in life. So when we call on Ganesha and he moves the Kundalini and he releases all the energy that's stuck in the chakras, then all those, that whole apparatus, as we open it up, it remains open with his consciousness. And then we move and we go through life with greater ease, so we don't have to keep doing it all the time, you know, mechanically. We do if we forget to do it or if we need to re-energize it. But maybe you're experiencing it even more at a subtler level because you know, Ganesha's energy is a lot stronger now for the whole earth plane. It's not just because we're on the spiritual path, but as Dr. Pillai says, each and every one of us is going to have a different experience because we're resonating with a different level of intelligence. Intelligence is a different level of energy, spiritual energy. So if it's pushing you to have kriyas or this movement of Kundalini is coming in a whole new way, it means that's because you need it right now to maybe get you unstuck in some area of your life. Only you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also find myself like grasping him, just wanting to touch him. And I feel like I'm doing an energy exchange with the Murti itself. When I just want to put my hands on him and have him give me his good energy and me give him all the stuff that I don't need to hang on to.
That's awesome. And that's a great thing too, Indrani, because if we can't have access to a coconut and we can't have access to a lime or something to, you know, grab onto and absorb that energy as a surrogate and then smash it, get rid of it, then we can grab onto a picture of Ganesha or, like you said, a little statue of it and feel that energy exchange. Because that's what we are here in this world. We have to be grounded in this world. Being spiritual is not being out of our body. It means we're waking up that spiritual energy inside of us so that we're moving in with grace and ease in this life.
Okay. All right. So the thing too that's interesting for me about this time of increased capacity and energy around Ganesha is this particular Murti I've had for about 2-3 years, something like that. It'd be about 3 years now, and I have always appreciated him. I think he's gorgeous. I think he's a beautiful representation of Ganesha, and he was blessed at one of the during one of the Ganesha Chaturi, I think it's called Ganesha's birthday or something like that. You know, when you do the, you can do the clay Ganeshas in the water, and then you can also do this wooden one that takes your karma away. So I've never had this kind of relationship with this particular Murti before. You know, I certainly do have a very powerful relationship with my veil, as you know, and with a lot of my yantras, you know, and they seem to come and go in terms of what I need from them, you know what I mean, like in terms of my wanting them out and wanting to look at them and wanting to see them. So the other thing that's in the closet with the Ganesha is a Sri Chakra Yantra. Those are the only two little bits of things that I have that I, you know, just can't seem to live without right now. So what's interesting, what I was saying was what's interesting about this particular Ganesha, I've always had him for 3 years, but never had this, like, desire or this need, actually, to, like, reach out and just touch him and just feel him and get that, you know, energy and get that release from him.
That's great.
Yeah, so I think that's all I wanted to talk about. I mean, other than I think, can I just do a reality check? When we did the meditation just now, was there a part where we were visualizing Baba dancing with Ganesha, or did I make that part up?
Oh, that was great.
I'm not sure.
I don't remember the meditation, but okay.
Okay.
But see, this is great, Indrani, that you're sharing that, because everyone is going to have their own experience. Maybe we'll hear from other people. I felt at one point, too, that I was just so happy with this Ganesha, this whole meditation and his representation, his energy coming through, his consciousness coming through. And I was like, this is so awesome. You know, here we are coming together from all different parts of the world, and we're coming online, and we get to experience this tapping into this collective unconscious, this archetype, this energy that's been around forever, before we were even around, you know? So, and lifetime after lifetime, and maybe that's what it is too, is that the deities will be kind of like people in our lives. When we're ready to understand them at a whole new level, then we will appreciate them more. Mm. You know, they can always be there or not be there. But then there will be the universe will make people to appear, whether we know them or not know them, or have a history or not have a history. But it will be the exact timing that we need to understand ourselves and how we relate to those people. So that's how archetypes are too. They can be there or not be there, in intensity or relationship-wise. Or we visit them and then we don't see them, or they call on us at a deep level and say, hey, I got to talk to you right now, at the spiritual level. And then we will have an experience. That's what life is all about here. We're spiritual beings, have a human experience, right? So these guides are kind of they're our mentors, lifetime after lifetime. And, being with Dr. Ply, we have lifetimes of being able to access these archetypes, whether we remember it or not, but we will have an experience, and that's what life is. It's all about experiences. So it's great that we're experiencing Ganesha, because he's available everywhere. You're going to see elephants everywhere, whether people are noticing that or not.
I've started drawing him when I'm doodling during boring meetings also. I'm not a good artist or anything like that, but I'm really enjoying the creative outlet and being able to, it's like bringing him into my meeting with me when I draw a picture of an elephant. And then, like I said, also, I imagine myself, I'll be wearing my headset at work. I imagine myself with giant elephant ears. And I think, well, how would my headset fit on my head if I had giant elephant ears? I'd have to get a different kind of headset, wouldn't I?
What happens in your meetings after you bring in Ganesha's energy?
People are surprised at how quickly I get things done in this new job that I'm in.
Wow. And are you surprised?
I have come to almost expect it with this new relationship or newfound appreciation I have for Ganesha.
You just expect things to go very smoothly.
Yeah, I'm like, aha, of course it's going to go that way.
Awesome. Awesome. Anything else, Indrani?
No, I think that's it. I think it's kind of funny that I just shared with, I don't know how many people that are on the call right now, that I brought Ganesha out of the closet. Keep him in the closet. But I'm sure a lot of people can appreciate what it's like when you live with other people that aren't necessarily on the spiritual path.
Right. And two, this is a great conversation to have, because there are people who, like yourself or myself, where, you know, it will tell the deities, these archetypes, these energies will tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. What you should say and what you shouldn't say, so that you're not imposing your beliefs or mm-hmm. your practices on anyone, or mm-hmm. not imposing, but exposing anyone to it, so you don't get any negativity back.
Mm-hmm.
So it, in a way, you know, as much as we want to think we're controlling how things are happening in our life, on this spiritual path with Dr. Pillai, we'll find that, oh, the deity will be fine in the closet, mm-hmm. you know, or in a box or whatever it has to be in for now.
Mm-hmm.
Or in my case, 15,000 miles away, my whole altar is set up and I, you know, I miss them, you know. But then I have my own little travel kit that I use here, and I have to put away every night because the cleaning people come in, and, you know, I don't want everybody to touch that. And so it's like we learn to go with the flow, and it teaches us life to be really flexible when situations aren't going our way. So it's part of our life. It's a very practical approach to life. It teaches us, it helps us to unlearn how we got ourselves being stuck in the first place. Because if we're stuck in some area of our life, chances are we're going to be stuck in a lot of areas of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're more flexible with our spiritual path and our, you know, our expectations of how things should be or shouldn't be, when we just kind of allow the divine to show us, it's going to be a beautiful dance. Are you there?
I am, yeah. It's very good what you said.
Okay, Indrani, anything else?
No, I think that's it for me for now. Thanks to Charita.
Thanks for sharing, and have a great week ahead.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks. So grace and ease, you know, in life, we really are here on the spiritual path to understand how grace comes to us. And it can come to us in so many different ways. And once we understand how the energy is naturally unfolding in the week ahead, in the months ahead, in the years ahead, or how it has flowed or not flowed, you know, up until this point, it doesn't matter. What we want to do is we want to be able to feel that grace and ease. And whatever is happening in our life, we can face it head on, or we can go around it, or we can go through it, or we can have it be dissolved away. We don't know what the divine wants us to learn about ourselves at any given moment in time. Even when you're on the spiritual path and you say, I've been doing this and I expect this, yeah, you might as well bang your head against the wall then. if you're going to have that attitude, because that's a bang your head against the wall attitude. And you'll continue to do it whether you're doing spiritual practices or just your everyday, you know, mundane life, like just the practical things in life. So if we're stuck, then it's a time to say, this is a time where being in the now. And as Indrani shared, do spontaneous kriyas, pull your Ganesha out of the closet, grab onto it, do a coconut, do whatever how the spirit moves you, and how the grace is flowing and teaching, because we want to understand how to be in everyday life, how to be the best version of ourselves in every moment, no matter what is going on in the life. And the best version or the most intelligent version of ourselves is that connection to the spirit world. What's behind what is the reality? It's not that you drive like a maniac and blast through red lights because, the spirit is moving me to do that. No, you don't do that. You have to have the rational mind to navigate in the world and to do the correct things. But then I'm stopping at the red light now. In that moment, how am I feeling? Am I feeling panicked? Is my head going? Am I worrying about a million different things? Or am I just going to grab onto this Ganesha statue or my beads and do a mantra or listen to it on my iPod or, whatever audio device you have and put that into my consciousness and then experience that grace and ease of the divine flowing through you and guiding you accordingly. So Ganesha's energy is really helping us to understand that and explore it. That's all we can share, in this program and in other programs. Again, do the 90-day Ganesha program offered through Palai Center. It's going to be an evergreen program. So whether you do it with the live calls, the teacher-facilitated calls, the support, and all the rest of the bells and whistles that go with that program, there's services offered. So you really get immersed in the consciousness that is really available right now at this point in time in 2016. So it's kind of like you can show up at the party and just stay outside, or you can actually just go inside and then really see what's happening and see how you are experiencing that big party of Ganesha, which is a lot of fun. And then, yes, there are. It doesn't mean that you're just like, woohoo, life is great. You're going to be able to be appropriate to the situation. I've had some moments this week that were quite disturbing, quite sad. And then I was able to come out of it and not be so caught up in it. That sad moment that, there was people who were diagnosed with cancer just out of nowhere. And it was just really sad. And I thought, oh my God, we just never know. So calling on Ganesha helped me to, dissolve that and don't get too caught up in the, being empathetic or empathizing with the person, getting too caught up in the emotion of it, and be emotionally appropriate, responding, how am I going to respond to this person? What do we say in this situation? Now, that's not the first time I've heard that someone has cancer, but it was just, came out of nowhere and it was a bit shocking, So there are always going to be those moments where, Ganesha is going to help you to be really appropriate. And then teach that so that you have that way of being imprinted in you, so that if it does happen down the road, you know exactly what to say or who to call on. So that's been, keep tapping into Ganesha. And his energy, his guidance will be help you to discover your best version of yourself, your highest version of yourself. You can go express through life and express yourself appropriately through life and know what to say and know what not to say and know what to do and what not to do. Mm-hmm. So there's the grace and ease. Who wouldn't want that? We all do. And it becomes an adventure, even all in all the challenging moments. It becomes an adventure. We're not so hard on ourselves or beating ourselves up for what we didn't do right or wrong. Mm-hmm. We're learning. So, anyone else have any questions or comments before we wrap? All right. Well, have an amazing week ahead. Thanks, everyone who shared their experiences, asked their questions today, tonight, wherever you are in the world. And then also those of you who are online and you're just holding that space of happy, utter positivity, great support for everyone. And we're all connecting to this Ganesha energy, and may God bless us all to have a deeper understanding of how we can create in our own lives a better way of being, navigating with grace and ease, and then collectively we can maybe bring Ganesha's energy to more and more people around the world through our who we are being, instead of like trying to, hey, you got to find out about Ganesha. Maybe people will start to ask you about, hey, what are you up to? And then you can share it with more ease and grace because it's so helpful. So then this week, tap into the energy of the fourth waning moon. That's Ganesha's energy. And then the sixth moon is Muruga's energy. And then the eighth moon is Kalabhairava's energy. So this is going to be a week where can bust some obstacles, get power, protection from negativity, and then get into a new space, do a timeline jump and with Kalabhairava. And then we'll see you the following Sunday. And see, I don't know where I'm going to be next, but it will be somewhere different. So God bless everyone. Thanks to Dr. Ply for being here, knowing that we're doing this program every week and guiding us internally to receive whatever divine blessings each and every soul needs at this point in time. And we will have a fabulous week ahead. Take care and God bless. Bye-bye.